Good, Baruch Hashem, and you.
Yeah, good. Nice to see you.
And you. We can start. I don't think Eli will be here. I think he's flown to America today or whatever, or last night, or whatever, so he won't be around. We are dealing with the von Shindun Vav at the bottom of the page there, the sugya dealing with health.
Shalom Rav.
How's it, Shlomo? So we spoke about Ishtadlis dealing with Panosa. Get comfortable, you're not to use the climbers, make sure that your head doesn't have to move. Take a deep breath, tighten your seatbelt. And so today we're going to look at it. Oh, Rabbi Fraim's there as well. Shalom, Rabbi Fraim. You haven't missed anything. We're just starting. So we're starting today with the Hishta. We saw the Hishta as the person has to make for Panosa. And now we're going to look at the Panosa, the Hishta as the person has to make when it comes to health. He says, V'chei neva binyan abrius v'hachoyli, on the same klape health and illness, kiala adam liftoch b'bayir b'zeh, you have to have betochen in HaKadosh Baruch Hu for this, that your health will be in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, uli yishtadl b'hasmodus abrius, but at the same time you have to make an effort to, constant effort to look after your health. B'sibur shaseh Hashem itivon zeh, from things that naturally produce these results. They're things that that naturally produce healthy results, and that's what you have to do. That's a person has a chiyuv to do the normal ishtadlus, the normal things that keep a person healthy. The Gemara says that a person is chayev to watch himself from extreme heat and cold. Heat and cold are dangerous naturally. The person has to watch himself that he doesn't dehydrate, that he doesn't get sunstroke, that he doesn't get frostbite. He has to watch himself from the heat and the cold. The Gemara in Ksuvus and in Baba Basra says, if you don't, you mamash chayav. It's considered posheya. But everything is decreed in Shemayim. So it says there that cold and heat stroke, that's a person's responsibility. You chayav for that. Whatever pshat is, it's an exception to the general rule. If you have to dress properly, you have to have appropriate shelter, you have to make whatever the normal hishtadlis is. Obviously, if you're honest, you're honest.
Which page are you on, Rabbi?
I'm on Shin Nun Vav, the bottom of the page. Yeah. I'm reading the Chovas Lavavas himself, not in the Leif Tov.
Ah, okay.
Can read in the life tobe if you want. I just
no, either it's fine.
I'm using another safer. No, I'm using another safer tonight. So I'm just reading from there. So, but you can track it. So when a person's honest and he doesn't have a choice, so then through the betochen that he has, even in these areas, he can dive into Hashem and tell him, listen, I want to look after myself, but I can't because I'm honest. Vchaskal Vransky was in Siberia. And he was a very frail person. He was very susceptible to getting sick. So he used to take very good care of himself. But in Siberia, first of all, they didn't give you too much to wear, and it was freezing, it was terrible. So he dove into Hashem. He said to Hashem, listen, I'd like to take care of myself, but I can't. Therefore, I'm begging you, please, to take care of me. You have to take care of me. And he never got sick. The entire time he was in Siberia, he never ever got sick, which was miraculous. And he said it was the betochen that he had in Hashem, because he knows that it's from Hashem. Health is from Hashem. These areas you're responsible for, but if you're honest, so then you're honest. So then you can be semech on Hashem. But everything else, you have to be semech on Hashem. But you have to make the yishtadl be'asmonus habriyos besibus Hashem mitivon ze. That naturally bring about these results. He says Hashem wants the world to function according to certain natural laws that he put in the world. If we have to make the ishtadlis that those things naturally work, that's when you get into the disputes, you know, between the conventional medicine and the alternative medicine, what really works, what doesn't work, what, okay, fine. So you have to make the discussions in ishtadlis. You have to see what's called ishtadlis, what's not called ishtadlis. How do you determine what's called ishtadlis? So there's a big sugya, so that's not our exact business now. But that's something that's been threshed out and bashed out and spoken about and thrown back and forth because of the matzah we're in at the moment. That's become a real until a year ago, like, not everybody was walking around with medical shalas on their head, you know. Somebody, everybody's got questions about health and medical and boom, boom, boom. So these sugars have become more real. But I don't want to go into that. That's not our subject now. You have to make whatever's called ishtadlis. How the halacha determines what's called ishtadlis and when you're allowed to do dangerous things and not dangerous things and when you can have surgery and all that. Those are big sugars in halacha. And that's not our subject now. We're talking about having betochen. We're just seeing that even though you have betochen and your health and whatever is kulu b'ashem, you still have a chiyuv, like in Panosa, to make whatever was called hishtadlis. Hamedeve b'me shenogu lidchoisoi. Also, a person has to treat his illness. If he does get sick, he has to treat his illness with what's normal, the minag for treating those kind of sicknesses. Komo shetziva varoch yisale v'rape yirape. Now, there's a big machlokes in the Rishonim what that pasuk really means. Let's say he understands it. Mibli sheyiftach al sibois habrios v'acholi, Hashem commands us, and you shall heal. You've got to. The Ramban learns that you have rishus. The Rambam learns you have a chiyuv. He seems to be saying that you have a chiyuv. He seems to be going with that sheet that you have a chiyuv to make medical, to make standards for medical treatment from v'rapa yirapa. The Ramban says it's like a rishus. You really don't have a chiyuv, but if you want to, you can. Others say that it's rishus to the doctor, that the doctor is rishus to heal. Doctor might think, one second, sickness comes from Hashem. So the Rotzon Hashem is that this guy should be sick. So who am I to interfere? Who says I can go and interfere and start metapling with him? So the posuk comes to tell him, no, you have permission to go heal. That's how some want to learn that posuk as well. He's learning that you have a chiyuv to do whatever's called normal. Rapi, you have to go do whatever's called normal. You shall surely go heal yourself. For sure, you don't trust the means, the sibot. You don't trust the medication and the treatment. That's not what you put your trust in. Because those don't do anything, not helpfully and not negatively, without the permission of Hashem. That means they can't do anything for you. They don't heal and they don't have side effects and don't damage. That's all b'gzeres Hashem. But you have to do whatever's considered normally shtadlis. Now he brings a whole lot of psukim. We try not to go too much into the psukim, but the sefer, this old school sefer, actually dabbles some of them with the psukim, the psukim. So maybe we'll look at it also a little bit and just see. He brings a whole lot of psukim. To show that even though you have a chiv to make ishtadlis, but the health is kulu on Hashem. So don't do your ishtadlis. Kreshivtach b'Hashem, yirapeyu micholav b'sibe u'bilti sibe. If a person has trust in Hashem, puts his betochen in Hashem, remember the shit of the Chayyus Olavavus is that a person who's a Baal betochen, who has trust in Hashem, he'll get whatever he wants. And some of that applies here as well. They're not just in panosa issues. It means if he has real betochen, proper betochen, so then he'll be healed from his illnesses with or without making ishtadlis.
But we said that was the lowest level.
Okay, once again, that's a big sugya now you just opened up here.
Because didn't we say there's two parts? The other part is whatever comes your way, you have bitachon that's what's right. So it's not that you necessarily will get healed. That was just to you bitachon.
It was real learned that the two shittas in bitachon, this is the lower level. In other words, you're a big baal bitachon and you get whatever you want. The shitta that Rashi brings there in Tomin Tiyum Hashem Elokecho, that's a higher level, because that is you makabel b'simcha ba'ava, whatever Hashem does to you, as opposed to you just get whatever you want. So Rabbi Zvil wants to tie it there in Munin B'tochen, that's a much higher level than this. Okay, but this is pretty impressive as well.
He also says that higher level is the correct mahalach for our generation.
Correct. When I'm learning Chovos Avos Shabbatah, I don't like getting into comparatives, because you'll see, you know, this is like the Shulchan Aruch of Betochen, even though we're not always paskin like it. It's one of those interesting subjects. We mentioned it right in the beginning. We saw the Meshes Chochma. Rabbi Zvil brings it as well. The famous Meshes Chochma there, where he says that it's very interesting that you don't see anywhere that we have clear psakim on Hilchus Betochen. In every area in Halacha, there's machlokesim, and you have a Shulchan Aruch and a paskin this way, that way, how, when, what. When it comes to Hilchus Betochen, there's nothing given, any indications about where to go. The Mishnah Chokhmah says it's because Betochen is a relationship. Betochen is about a relationship. In some way, you can't fix how to have a relationship with somebody, because people are different and people relate different. People like different things. They'll tell the guy, you have to buy your wife red roses, but she likes white lilies. So my mazel zelo buying her red roses. You have to write a book for each person, each relationship, each different period, winter, summer. It's impossible. So therefore he says, you have to know that all the shittas of Betochen are all valid, and you have to know when to use which one and how to use it. So that's what Rabbi Zvil was taking license from, to say that it's for sure more appropriate today with the matzah we're in. And you don't have to be a genius to realize that that's our nisoy, because we're not big Baalei Betochen. If my nisoy is to become a big Baalei Betochen, that's what I have to do, the mod mod kasheli. But Betochen means completely, completely just tranquil and relaxed, because you know that Hashem's taking care of everything. But a more definition of that today. That the definition of betochen is being available. The definition of betochen is you're available.
That means, please elaborate on that.
I'm going to. It's fascinating. We all have lots of things to do at any given time, right? But we can only do one thing at a time. Correct? At any given time, there could be 20 or 30 or 50 or 100 things that you need to be taken care of right now, but you know you can only deal with one thing at a time. So you choose to do one thing. I'm not going into which is the right thing, the wrong thing. That's not the subject now. You may make decisions that are wrong. That's not the point. But you've decided to do this now, but you're angsting and you're anxious about all the other things that's left to be done. The Tochen says there is nothing else to be done. Because while I'm doing this, I'm completely safe inside of myself that Hashem's taking care of everything. And if while I'm busy doing this, something else would come along that I would need to take care of, I would be fully freed up and available to deal with it. Dugma, you're on your way to a meeting. On your way to a meeting, let's say. And on your way, someone stops you and asks you for directions. Right? Are you available to help this person find where he's going or not? Yeah, because I know that Hashem's taking care of the world and I have nothing else to do now other than this, because this is what Hashem put on my table. Yeah, but what about the other 50 things? I mean, there's a meeting you have to go to. Okay. So, but right now I'm doing this and then the meeting will have to wait. Or if the meeting can't wait, then you'll have to tell the poor guy you can't give him directions. Okay. But then I won't be angsting about giving him directions, because I know that wasn't my job, because Hashem's going to take care of him while I go to my meeting. I mean, when I know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world because I feel cared for, I feel well taken care of, and I don't have anything lacking or missing because I know that Hashem's taking care of everything, I'm available to take care of everybody else. Rebecca once put it, Moiridik, he said he was writing a book, and the title of the book is The Most Difficult Thing to Say to Another Person. What's the most difficult thing you can say to another person? I don't know if he ever wrote this book or he hasn't published it. I don't know what he's doing with it, but it was an idea I heard from him many years ago. What is the most difficult thing you could say to another person? I'm fine. How are you? I'm fully taken care of. I have nothing need. I have no needs in this interaction. I'm yakulu for you. How are you? What can I do for you? And I have no pullings or stresses or tugs anywhere, because my betochen level is so high that I just know that I'm well taken care of. I know that Hashem's taking care of everything. I'm good. I'll give you the opposite example. I was once suffering terribly from toothache. I'm a terrible toothache. Not like so bad that I couldn't survive, because you'll see that I did survive, but it needed to be dealt with. So I was telling somebody, he said to me, why don't you go to the dentist? So I said, I'm just like, I'm being too busy. I haven't had time. So without even flinching, he said to me, you know you're an apicoidus. I said, I might be lazy, but my kesha apicosis. I might even be chicken, because I don't want to go to the dentist. But what's it going to do with being a heretic? Is it because you think while you're in the dentist's chair, Hashem can't take care of the world? You're too busy to go to the dentist. That means you don't think that while you're sitting there having your teeth taken care of, that Hashem can't take care of the world. Hashem's telling you, what, giving you a toothache, that he wants you to go to the dentist. Why he wants you to be at the dentist, I don't know. But he needs you right now to be in a dentist chair. Otherwise, he wouldn't have given you the toothache. But you're too busy taking care of things that Hashem said, I didn't ask you to take care of those things. I'm taking care of those. I need you to go to the dentist. So when you're too busy to do things that you know that you need to do, so then you don't believe that Hashem's taking care of everything. You're not available. The tranquility, the peace that comes from, I've just heard this today, I'm trying to grapple with it a little bit. The tranquility, the peace that comes from having betochen is you're available because you know that you're well taken care of. So therefore you're able to take care of other people. If I'm busy running around, trying to survive, trying to take care of, trying to do, I'm not available for other people. Go ask your directions. You give them some clip and go straight left. And when you get close, I'll ask somebody because I'm running to meet. No, make sure that he's got it clear. Maybe he's not going to make a mistake. You might need to even walk him a little bit of the way to show him where to get to. You know, because that's what Hashem asked you to do right now. This guy walks up and says, where's ABC? You know, so that's what Hashem's telling you. This is what I need you to deal with right now. That's a Baal Betochen. He recognizes whatever's on his table now came from Hashem. And he recognizes that everything else that he can't do now, because he can only do one thing at a time. So whatever he chooses to do, incorrectly or correctly, Hashem's taking care of everything else. So he's tool. He's not sitting there saying, you know, while I'm busy giving this vod, you know what I mean, things I have to take care of, and I've got to look at the watch and wink at. No, if you don't want to do this, so choose to do something else. That's also fine. But don't do this and be chewed up and revved up and uptight about all the other things that you could be doing now. Because now everything else has been taken care of. It's not your job. That's a big aspect of betochen. So that needs much more. But the idea is an idea, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's a good idea, but it doesn't sound like a definition. It sounds more like an outcome.
It's a definition. No, I don't say it's a definition. I don't think we came to define betochen. It's a manifestation of betochen. It's a connection to betochen. It's a realization. Yeah. No, I don't know if it's a definition. The Chovas HaLevav defines betochen as Yishuv HaDaas U'Menuchas HaNefesh. The English word we would use is secure. I feel secure. What is betochen? Betochen is I feel secure, I feel safe, I feel taken care of. I mean that's what betochen is. So this is another aspect of that feeling taken care of, is that I'm now available. To the extent that you find yourself available for others, to that extent you have a sense of where your betochen levels are. So that was a big eye opener for me that needs to be worked through.
Yeah.
Then you have to add in how does Achrayus fit in here? Because you haven't, let's say, even Achrayus for some of the other things. But now you have to be in the dentist chair.
You can only do one thing at a time.
If something gets, but let's say it was something urgent, but you have to be in the dentist chair now, and let's say it collapsed, that other urgent thing. And then afterwards they come tana on you. Because you're Achrayus, why didn't you sort it out? You said, well, I was in the dentist chair, what could I do?
One second. No, that's a good example. Let's take that apart and let's try and understand that. Okay, that's a good question, because that's part of the anxiousness I'm feeling when I'm doing one thing and I'm anxious because there's this other thing to do and I'm responsible for it. And if something goes wrong there, I'm gonna get clubbed. So that's part of the anxiousness. Yeah. It's because I have a chryas and because I'm responsible. So once again, you have a choice. You might choose not to go to the dentist and go take care of the thing that you are chryas to take care of. Yeah? But when you're doing that, then don't sweat the sore tooth. The same as when you're sitting in the dentist chair, don't sweat the thing you're not taking care of, because it's not your job right now to be taking care of it, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking care of that, because you can only do one thing at a time. And Hashem knows that. And let's say you chose to go to the dentist, and that other thing, you couldn't hold it anymore. You were in pain. So the ishtadlus was to go to the doctor. That's what it says here. Ishtadlus to go to the doctor. And let's say that the thing that you are cry for did fall and you got whatever. So that was also Hashem. The fact that these guys are now screaming at you, whatever, Zegamia Kodesh Baruch. That's also from Hashem. Yeah. It's not always easy to see. That's what I said. It's got to be worked through. This is not so posh.
Yeah.
The difficulty is going to come is when you have conflicting ishtadluses that you need to take care of. How do you know which one to do? So that's part of the you'll make decisions and you'll make wrong decisions sometimes, but that's fine. That humans, that's what humans are. We're machines that make mistakes. That's fine. That's not a problem. You'll get it wrong sometimes. But I have the betochen that even though I made a mistake, Kodesh Baruch will take care of that also. And the situation I'm in now because of the mistake I made, that's also what a Kodesh Baruch wants. That's where the tranquility and the peace comes from, is knowing that Hashem's taking care of everything and therefore everything's good. Except we'll see the areas in the lab betochen. We're not focusing on that because we haven't seen that. He's going to deal, not too many pages, he's going to deal with things that it's also to have betochen. Because you're an idiot if you have betochen in those things. Let's say, for example, you haven't put on tefillin today and shkia's in 3 minutes. Yeah, and this guy asks you for directions. So you may have to say to him, excuse me, I just have to put on tefillin and you'll have to wait because I can't have betochen that Hashem will put on tefillin for me. Because putting on tefillin is my... You can't have betochen when it comes to putting on tefillin. Why aren't you putting on your tefillin? Oh, Hashem will take care of it. No, we're talking about it. The one area that I say, I'll call B'day Shemaim, Chutz Mirushamayim. Chutz Mirushamayim means you need to take care of it. So they're Nachinami. You can't have a tochen there. He'll speak about that, the areas where, but in other areas where you're allowed to have a tochen, in all these areas. So.
I heard today, I think Rav Chaim said in the name of Rav Segal, who heard from the Chazon Ish, I think. He was mentioning, he said that sometimes, the opposite of what you're saying, sometimes if there's ishtadlus that's not matim for you, or that it's not the right, because you're supposed to be in learning, but now you're going doing something that's not matim for you, instead of learning or whatever it is, it could be, it's asur to do the ishtadlus. This is like someone's asur to have betach, and sometimes it's asur to do ishtadlus. Certain ishtadlus is also asur.
Yeah, but that could be because you're not. That's not the opposite of what I'm saying. It's exactly what I'm saying. Right now, you have a mitzvah in front of you. No one else can do this mitzvah. The mitzvah sheva gufay, learning Torah, is your mitzvah. And you have a chiyuv to be learning now. And therefore, going and making ishtadlus for panasa could be very inappropriate. Now, for example, morning seder starts at 9:30 and it finishes at 1. 9:30, you decide you've got to go pop into the office quickly to take care of things. For sure, that might be very awesome. Yeah,
could be a problem. Right?
Yeah, but that's because of your bechira, because that's your ruchnias, that's your mitzvah sheba
gufi. I have to work on myself forever.
I'll go to the office. Frank Waxman uses a moedic marshal. He's going to speak about.
Come on, not only you, my friend. Thomas saying he has to work on himself,
that's why we're here to work on ourselves, of course. But if I Waxman says that you have to know where to have betochen, where not to have betochen, he says the Yetzer Hara is going to confuse you. He's going to get you have to betochen in areas where you're not allowed betochen, and he's going to get you to have no betochen in areas where you have to have betochen. When it comes to learning, you can't have betochen. I mean, for sure you have to betochen that if you make the studies and you learn properly, Hashem will give you siyata lishman. You'll be able to understand what you're learning. Because without that, you'll never understand anything. For sure. But the actual effort to learn, you can't rely on Hashem for that. That you have to do. Yeah? And when it comes to panasa, Hashem will take care of your panasa. Right? Hashem will take care of your panasa. So people have the exact opposite. That when it comes to the ruchnias, they leave that to Hashem. Hashem will take care of that. When it comes to the panasa, I have to do everything. Frank Waxman has a moshel, a moedik moshel in Yishiron Shara Betochen. There's a moshel. He says, you have a father, he's got a very, very well established, very successful business. And he's got two sons. The one son is like one of these Steve Hawkins mathematical geniuses. You know, the guy, Mama, she's like actuarial and he's got all like unbelievable koyaches. But he's an absolute weakling, right? He has a hard time even picking up his chair and moving it. Like he's very, very weak. He's got another son who's got a brain like a brick, but the guy's a Mama, she's power, he's got koichas, he's a strong guy. Yeah, so what does the father do? He puts the first son there down in the loading dock where they load the truck, you know, with all the goods that they make, and he puts the blockheaded guy in the office. He says that's what we do. You put the wrong guy in the wrong place. You put your betochen in the ruchniastika office, and in the panasa there you take care of everything. There you koichavetz.
Very nice.
That's the, he uses that marshal. Make sure that you put the right guy in the right office. You send the big brickheaded down guy to load the trucks, and you put the little genius in the chair there and let him work out all the financial stuff and deal with the banks and whatever, you know. It's the
very nice.
No, it's a nice marshal he brings. So yeah, so that you have to be careful of. But we'll see. He's going to discuss it himself. So I don't want to spend too much time on that. That's that he himself is going to deal with. We're talking now about doing shtalas for a fuhr. I don't know how we got caught up in all these other things. But that's the vote. You have to do whatever's considered normally shtadlis, whatever's called valid shtadlis. I remember once Reb Tatz came to us, Motze Shabbos, came to me from a lover Malka. I think it was when he was moving to Israel. His wife already left, and he was allowed at home, so he came to our Shabbos when we were still living in Johannesburg. He came to us from a lover Malka, and he was sick. He had a cold, whatever. He was feeling miserable, whatever. So he was taking antibiotics, but they came in little capsules. And he had a chashash that the capsules were gelatin or whatever. So he took the powder out of the plastic, and it was like eating these, you know, just like pop a pill, you know. He was making a real mess of what he was doing. And I was like opening it and swallowing. It was bitter. It was terrible, whatever. So my wife said to him, why don't you take homeopathic medication instead? You know, she's into this natural stuff. So why don't you rather take homeopathic medicine? So he looked at her and he said, wow, this is not valid ishtadlis. It was like my first introduction to that headspace. He wasn't getting to the question of, is this better than homeopathic? Maybe homeopathic's better, not better, whatever. He just, am I making valid ishtadlis or not? Yeah, in the world today, homeopathic medicine could also be called valid ishtadlis. He wasn't saying it's not. He was just saying, why is this not called valid ishtadlis? You know, this is valid ishtadlis, so this is what I'm accustomed to, this is what I'm familiar with, this is what I take. If this is not valid ishtadlis, then why are you doing it? And he didn't say that the other alternative medicine is not valid ishtadlis. He wasn't commenting on that. He just wanted to know what was wrong with this. You know, that was my first. Is this valid ishtadlis or not? If it is, then do it. And if it's not, then why are you bothering with it? You know, that was his approach. That was a big eye opener for me. Big eye opener for me. Anyway, something else happened that night, but it's not really relevant. Yes. So, okay. Yeah, we've got a few minutes. Let's go. Let's just look at some of these pasuk. So, Kimia, let's see what he says. Kasha yiftach b'boire. When a person has betochen in Hashem, Hashem will heal him, whether with the medical means or without the medical means. We've heard, we know at Yom of Elayli, you have these miracle stories, people get healed, whatever. The doctor said one thing, and Rebetzin Kanievsky of Shalom said another thing. So, you know, we've seen many things happen. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever the desire of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what's going to be. You have to make your ishtadlis. So, he says, he brings a pasuk in Tehillim. Yishlach dvaru v'yipayim. That's about as explicit as you get. It says Hashem sends his word and heals them. I mean, he just heals you with his word. Hashem sends his word and he heals you without any medical means, without any of the natural medical procedures. Hashem just heals a person. You know, that's what they say, give it a few days. You know, if you get sick, so just leave it for a few days, don't do anything, and you get better. What happened? That's the possum. Yishlok dvora v'yipayim. Hashem sent his word and you got better. That's ve'epshe yirpayu b'dvar hamazik harbe. He may even heal you through something that b'derech hateva is very dangerous. Sometimes you're not allowed to do this, by the way. You're not allowed to take dangerous medical treatments. There's halachas about when you're allowed to, how dangerous you can, depending on the benefits, whatever. But Hashem sometimes heals with things that you think would be the exact opposite. Elisha took these mayim roim, these bad waters, evil, whatever, I don't know, foul waters or whatever, from Yericho. And he cured those harmful waters with salt. With salt. Salt doesn't make water sweet. I don't know if you've been to the sea lately, but salt in the water is not like the Kinneret, you know. So he put salt into the water and the water got clean. It was nice sweet water now from the salt. You understand? So that you see, so that's, that could even be that. Kamosha Kosam Avayim Raim Va'aretz Meshakeles. It says, Melochim, the people of the city told Elisha, living in the city is very good, very nice, but the water is disgusting. And it makes living here, the water's poison. It makes the land, you can't live here. It's deadly. So then he went to the, I'm just reading the commentary, what he says. He says he went to the where the water came from, the source of the water, and he threw salt there. And then he said, no, it doesn't bring the pasuk there. Just one second. Okay, he's expanding on this. The Pirush here from the old school is expanding on this because the Chovetz Chaim doesn't bring this whole story, the whole pasuk. So then he said, then Hashem said, I've cured the water, and there shall be no longer from this water anything with death and mourning. Because he put salt in the water. Now the water was sweet. The water was deadly. Put salt in and the water's fine. The salt, salt can't do that. Hashem says, I've cured the water. Elisha went and he put salt in the water, but it wasn't the salt that did anything. Hashem says, I cured the water. V'chein v'yireyu Hashem eitz v'yishlach el hamayim. There by Moshe, we know, but my Meriva, the mind, the Morrow, when the Klal Yisrael was thirsty and they complained for water, and all they found was Morrow, was water that was bitter. So what happens? V'omru shakadmoinim sha'eitz al shel haridufuni. The Chazal in the Tanchuma says that the tree that he threw into the water was called Hardufni. Hardufni is a bitter, bitter plant. So you have bitter water and you want to make it sweet. So what do? You pour more bitterness into it. So you see that it's not the Ishtadlis that does it. That's from when Hashem comes. And he brings many more examples here. The same thing happened with Chizkiyahu. He was very ill, and Yeshaya came to visit him, told him he was going to die, and then he davened, and Hashem gave him more years, and he told Chizkiyahu's men how to heal him. So it says there, you see, Dveilis ta'enim v'irmoncho ala shchin v'yichye, let them take the cake of figs, where they used to dry the figs there, and smear it all over his wounds, and it will heal him. And that's a bit of a problem because that's normally something which is very harmful even to healthy skin. Chazal tell us that the Rashi there in brings on the Mechilta in Beshalach that if you smear the fig cakes even onto healthy skin, it's bad for the skin. So yeah, he put it onto open wounds and it healed them. But that you have to have a tzivu from Hashem to do that. We're not allowed to do dangerous medications hoping that they'll heal us, unless once again the halachas, all the medications we take today are dangerous.
like chemotherapy or something like that, which we know is like poisoning the body or whatever it is, but it's
not terrible problem. So there you have to know the halachas. You have to know the halachas. When are you allowed to? When you're not allowed to? What are the benefits? As I said right in the beginning, I don't want to get into that sugya because that's a we can close the Chovetz Chaim of Ovis. We can open up those sugars and go into them. They're fascinating.
That's not really this though, because this is like doing something dangerous, which is actually abnormal for the thing you're doing it on. So yeah, it's connected, but Hashem says do it, and then nevertheless it still heals to prove that the thing itself is not healing. It's Hashem, right?
So yeah, he's bringing all these things as proof to see that it's not the Ishtadlis that heals, it's Hashem that heals. The cheshbon of doing these things you couldn't do because there's no benefit in doing them. Putting figs on a wound doesn't heal a wound. The chemo is a different sugya. Why? Because chemo does heal, even though it has terrible side effects. Now you have a cheshbon. Are you allowed to do something like that, which is dangerous? But there are benefits in it. There are natural benefits. It's not that chemo just kills and Hashem says, yeah, but do it anyway. And then you see people getting healed. So that we're not allowed to do. You're not allowed to do this. This Hashem commanded them to do, so you do it. We're not allowed to do harmful therapies for no benefit. That's why, for example, the discussion in plastic surgery. Plastic surgery, just for pure beauty reasons, is awesome, because there's a big sakana in having anesthetics and having surgery, and there's no benefit. The psychological benefits are also, the post-gemal psychological benefits may matter that as well. That's also a big sugya. Sometimes a person can be so psychologically traumatized by their nose or whatever, so that's like called an illness. So that they're all allowed to do that. But I'm saying you have to weigh these questions up. These are big questions. You have a look at Rabbi. If you're interested in the subject, Rabbi Tetz goes through this beautifully in his Sefer. Absolutely fantastic. A masterpiece. Goes through all these sugars about when you're allowed to do dangerous, what degree of danger, how, where, what. Unbelievable. He brings from the Poiskim. You just see how the Gedolei Yisrael solved these problems. It's a mamash, it's gewaldig. Unbelievable just to see the giant. You know, you face this problem, you think to yourself, how would I deal with this? And you see how Rabbi Lashav dealt with this, or, you know, the previous Gedolim, and I'm very into that stuff. I'm getting a bit excited. I'm sorry, I apologize. But, the manyenoti, how that process works through. But yeah, we're talking about where Kodesh Baruch Hu commanded something to do something which would be awesome for you to do normally, because there's no to'elis and it's dangerous.
Rav, I'm dropping off. Have a good night.
No, no, we're also dropping off. I have to run. Okay, I thought we would finish this. We aren't. Okay, so Metz Hashem will start. Metz Hashem, next week we'll start with the subject what about extra panosa? We've spoken up to now about the basic panosa you need to live, but we'll see as a whole subject that some people, sometimes you need extra panosa over and above your immediate needs. So Metz Hashem, that we'll see Metz Hashem next week. Next week's going to be Ben Zmanim. This Vart can carry on next week. I'm okay with it.
Okay, great.
We'll see how people are feeling.